I'm thankful to be here, thankful that to be in y'all's presence this morning, and please pray for me as I do have a few words that are on my mind and a few things I'd like to bring to your attention this morning. But before I do, I'm not much in preliminary, but I just want to say I haven't been at this new facility here since you built it, and you all have done a wonderful job. I'm so thankful to the church. I'm so thankful for the church, and you all look so healthy. The church building's so nice, and I just commend you for that, and God bless you for that. I'm thankful to be here, as I said, and I do want to tell you that I noticed Elder Lorana was telling us about that your 98th anniversary of the church is Constitution of the Church is coming up. My centennial of my church, Pleasant Home Primitive Baptist Church, is actually this coming up year. So on the fifth Sunday of March, we're going to have a centennial celebration, just as you probably will in a couple of years. So pray for us, and if you're in that area on the fifth weekend in March, we'd love to have you down. If you do have your Bibles, if you would care to read along, turn with me to Matthew chapter 1. I'd like to bring a couple of familiar passages of Scripture to you. I will not stand long. I will be very mindful of the time. I'm sure you have come to hear, and we've all come to hear Elder Ronald preach to us this morning. But I do have a couple of things that are on my mind. And, of course, during this holiday season, I think about Matthew chapter 1. And I was reflecting back, and I've tried to offer some sermons in this fashion as to some of the saddest verses in the Scriptures. And I started thinking about some of the saddest passages of the Scriptures. And I tried to preach a few times on those things. Like in Hosea, Ephraim has joined himself to idols, leave him alone. That is a sad passage of Scripture. But that's not a passage of Scripture regarding eternal salvation. There's another sad passage of Scripture when the psalmist David says in 2 Samuel chapter 23, he says, although my house be not so with God, he realizes that he didn't do everything that he should have done to serve the Lord in his life. But he says, although my house be not so with God. And that's a sad passage of Scripture to me when he says that. But then he goes on to tell you about his sure foundation, his sure salvation, his eternal salvation that has been sealed by the blood of Christ. And although the things that he did in his life were not exactly what he should have done, and we all are very familiar with Nathan coming and telling him about Uriah and the murder and the things that he did there, we're very familiar with that. But the psalmist David said in the last words, where his last words were, although my house be not so with God, yet he had made with me an everlasting covenant. Everlasting, ordered, he said, in all things and sure, for this is all my salvation and all my desire, although he make it not to grow. And so when I thought about it and I started reflecting on some of the saddest passages of Scripture, I started thinking about a passage of Scripture found in John chapter 17. Stay there in Matthew chapter 1. I'm going to get back to that. But John chapter 17, when our Savior Jesus Christ is praying to his God in heaven. And one of the saddest passages of Scripture that I just have really meditated on quite a long time in my life is this passage of Scripture when he says In verse 4, he said, I have glorified thee on earth. Jesus Christ is praying to God in heaven. And he's saying towards the end of his life, when he's about to go to the cross, he says, I have glorified thee on earth. He said, I have finished the work which thou hast gavest me to do. And then he says, this is so sad to me. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Now, can you think about the glory that our Savior Jesus Christ had before the world was? The glory that in Isaiah chapter 6, when he looked up and he says, and I saw the train fill the temple, and they cried, holy, holy, holy. The glory that's happening right now in heaven, even as I speak, can you imagine the glory that Jesus Christ, our Savior, has seated at the right hand of God in heaven? The God that made the universe, the God that created everything, the God that made this sun that come up this morning, and we trust if Jesus Christ doesn't come back again, is going to make it to set again in the west. That same God who holds the universe in the palm of his hands, the same God has the glory in heaven today. And all those that we know that we've loved before the foundation, that God chose before the foundation of the world, all of God's elect people, before the foundation of the world, if they've passed this life, their souls right now are in heaven. And you know what they're doing? They're not looking around visiting with each other. I don't believe they are. I don't believe the Scriptures teach us that. I don't believe they're looking around in their mansions now. I know there are going to be mansions. We know that Jesus Christ tells us that. Don't know what they look like. Don't know if it's going to be like this or what. But I do know that the people that we've loved that have passed this life, Jesus Christ has not come back again yet. The people that we love that passed this life are in heaven right now. And you know what they're doing? They're doing with what the angels are doing right now. They're singing praises and glory and holy, holy, holy to the Lamb that was slain, our Savior, Jesus Christ. That's what's happening in heaven, even as I speak right now. That's what's happening in heaven when we all get there, if we're God's people, if we've been chosen before the world began. So I think of some of the saddest scriptures, and that's a sad scripture when Jesus Christ says, give me the glory back that I had back with I had thee before the world was. Now you can take a long time and meditate on that, and I'm not going to spend any more time on it, but I suggest that you just think about that. And think about what happening in heaven. And when Jesus Christ was here praying in the Garden of Gethsemane right before he went to the cross, and he's saying, God, give me back that same glory I had with thee before the world was. That's a sad passage of scripture to me. But let me tell you something happy that we can rejoice in this morning. The reason why that Wednesday morning you're going to wake up and you're going to all think about your Savior, Jesus Christ. It's because that Jesus Christ said, I finished the work. That's what we're going to celebrate Wednesday morning, is the finished work of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Because do you know that all of our hope would be lost? In fact, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 talks about it. Talks about all the hope that would be lost. And all this preaching that we all try to do, it would be in vain. And all of our faith and everything we had would be in vain if it weren't for the resurrection of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who rose victorious under his own power and seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercessions for you and for me. So this morning, I'm happy to announce to you that our Savior was born some 2,000 years ago. I'm happy to announce to you that our Savior finished the work on Calvary's cross 2,000 years ago. And I'm happy and real happy to tell you that right now in heaven, the angels are singing holy, that the souls are singing holy, and those are wafted around the throne of God in heaven singing holy, holy, and holy, and holy to the Lamb that was slain. The Lamb that was slain that redeemed us. So just a few more passages of scriptures and I'll sit down. This first one is something to celebrate. This is why we're happy this morning. This is why we have something to celebrate in our life. Because if we didn't, there would be no hope. Because we understand about doctrine and salvation, don't we? We understand there's a timely salvation. And that's what David was talking about when he was referring to the things that he didn't do right in his life. And he regretted those things in his life. He says in Psalms 142, I looked on my right hand and beheld, and there was none there. In other words, he didn't feel the presence of God, and that's his timely salvation, which we all have work to do in our life to do. Our timely salvation, our fellowship with God, is important. But our eternal salvation has been sealed by the blood of Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago and preserved. And see, that's why David said it's a sure foundation. It's sure and preserved, and it's been preserved by the blood of Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 8, chapter 1, verse 18, it says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise when his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together. She was found with the child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived of her is of the Holy Ghost, and she shall bring forth the son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, and he shall save his people from their sins. That's why you drove all the way here. And I heard some brother say, we drove 100 miles and my sister drives 100 miles and we all meet here at the church. And you do for a reason, because we all have churches right around the corner from us, don't we? You all come here for a reason, because you come to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, salvation by grace preached, and nothing else. You're not here to look at me, even though I'm pretty good looking. You're not here to look at me or Elder Ronald Lawrence or anyone else. You're here, we're all here for one purpose, and that's to sing praises to our Heavenly Father and the Lamb that was slain, because he finished the work. He said, it is finished. So our happy scripture this morning is that God was pleased to send his son, his only son, Jesus Christ. And it said, Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all that was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord, of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall with a child and shall bring forth the son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from the sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, took upon him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn, and he called his name Jesus. How many more scriptures can I tell you about, except for the fact that she shall bring forth a son, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Let me tell you another passage of scripture that's arrested me quite a lot in, as I've tried to preach the gospel. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. And I know we're all familiar with these passages of scripture, but I want you to go home sometime and just meditate on them. Because everybody has a little bit of downtime. They say they're too busy and they got the Facebook and the internet and the phones and they do all this stuff. But everybody has some time where they spend some time with themselves to meditate. Here's a passage of scripture that I've meditated on so often, so many times often. I've tried to preach on it several times, and every time I'm preaching, I'm sure it's failing, but I tried my best to preach on this. Listen, first, Paul tells Timothy, he said, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. There's no controversy about it. You don't have to discuss it anymore. There's no controversy in it. Great is the mystery of godliness, that God was manifested in the flesh. That's amazing to me, that God that had the glory before the world was sent his son, his only son, to save his people from their sins. And see, we all came together because we know he didn't just come to save, that he came and he was successful in his work. And because of the blood of Christ, we have been redeemed. We have been bought back. It was a price. You know, we sing that song, grace is free. Grace is free to us. But it came at a price. It came at a cost. Now, let me show you one more passage of scripture and I will sit down. 1 Peter chapter 1. Go to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18. I'm familiar again with it. But there's so many little nuggets of things that you, when you go back through them and you reread it, you're like, oh, I didn't see that. I don't know if you do that. But a lot of times I'll read the scripture and I'll understand it. And I can even recite some of them to myself and I'll tell myself about them. But then when I go back and reread them, something jumps out at me and I'm like, wow, that is so rich. It's so powerful. Listen to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the tradition from your fathers, that's not what you were redeemed with. Yeah, everybody understands what redemption is. I know you've been taught quite a lot. But it changes the whole meaning of that passage. It changes it around to where now he's going to tell you something else. But listen to this. What were you redeemed with? With the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. See, that's the only thing that God in heaven, the wonderful, holy God in heaven, that's the only thing, the only sacrifice that could have been made that God would accept eternally is the blood of his own son, Jesus Christ. He said, but this is what you were redeemed with, the precious blood of Christ without, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. And of course, we can go back to Exodus 12 and talk about the lamb. But I want you to get this. But it says, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world? Did you know that God had a plan in place before the foundation of the world? Before even the world was even created, God had a plan in place to redeem his people and to buy them back from that awful place. And God had that plan in place before the foundation of the world. Can you imagine the 4,000 years that passed? Now, I know God said that a day is with me as 1,000 years, 1,000 years, one day. But can you imagine the 4,000 years or so that passed? By the way, the world's not billions and billions, as they try to tell you. It's just about 6,000 years old, right, brother? And so can you imagine those 4,000 years before Jesus Christ came on this earth? Can you imagine what Jesus Christ thought about? Now, it might have been a blip of time. I don't know. I don't even try to profess to think about God. But put yourself in that position when you understand. Like it would be like you telling me that in 10 years I've got to go suffer some horrible, awful death for people that didn't even really hardly care about me. Can you imagine? And that's what happened when, before the world began, God put a plan into place with his son, Jesus Christ, who was verily ordained before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for you, for all of God's people. So what I'm trying to tell you is, and then I love him, by who by him do believe in God. Don't you love that too, brother? Go and say, who by him do believe in God. You know why you believe in God? It's by Jesus Christ. It's because God put it in your heart to believe in him in that new birth process. And it was nothing we did. It was just by God's free grace that he gave to us. So now I could preach to you all afternoon, but I'm not going to. But I just came to tell you about your Savior, Jesus Christ. I came to tell you about the finished work. I came to tell you why it's so important to come here and never stop coming and believing on the truth of salvation by the grace of God and nothing else. And as you can see, I believe it. And you can at least believe that I believe it, because I'm very passionate about our Savior, Jesus Christ. So come celebrate with me and celebrate with us this Wednesday as we all remember our Savior and the finished work. That means we're preserved, right, in the right hand of God the Father, the finished work of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you.